Well, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 40 of Large Old Cup. My name is Corey, and you're here with me now. I did not have an episode out last week, kind of purposeful, because stuff was a little interesting to say, the very least. And when interesting things happen in America, it's usually best to keep your head down and wait for that to shake out. So, still waiting for that to shake out before I decide I'm going to put any thoughts out there regarding the subject matter. So we'll just press forward on that. What I do want to talk a little bit about is, man, I fucking love living in the city. I do. I fucking love living in Columbus, Ohio. I love it so fucking much. I've had so many weird person interactions in the last 2 weeks that have been just fucking phenomenal, A-plus stuff. I'll go straight with this. You know, yesterday, I did not post a new Henry's Usual yesterday because I couldn't get myself into the mindset to write it. Normally what happens on Saturday mornings, I go over to a coffee shop that is located near my apartment, and I put on this sort of alternative 90s music playlist that I've kind of been in the process of curating. And that puts me into the mindset of Henry, who is the character that I dip into to write these letters to Henry. Whether that is Henry is another person or Henry is just himself, you know, we'll find out as this project continues to grow. But I do have to get myself into a mindset because I'm playing a character for all intents and purposes as I am writing this. And I think that's why I really like the letter format of writing. I think it's why I'm drawn to like the idea of making epistolaries and things like that, because it is essentially an aspect of role playing, and I do enjoy role playing. So I do have to put myself into Henry's position. I have to turn myself from a late 30s millennial to this mid to late 50s Gen X burnout whose life has not really grown, and sort of like ruminate on why that has or has not happened, and think about the good times and bad times and things that happen in between as Henry sits in this same diner every single week to kind of dive into his ongoing ennui. So that's kind of, I don't want to say it's meta. I'm not a 50-something-year-old Gen X guy. You know, I'm late 30s millennial. But it is an aspect of role-playing, and that involves getting into character. So I had a hard time getting into character because I was witness to a medical emergency yesterday morning. See, I am someone that things happen to. I'm always around. I'm either involved in said thing or I'm near when said thing occurs. I have tons of stories. A lot of them I've told on here or will tell in the future. But I am someone who has always been around when shit happens. So in this instance, there's this older man. I believe his name is Jay. And Jay is a regular at the coffee shop. I see him every Saturday morning that I'm there. I've been there on days that weren't Saturday and I've seen him there. Jay is in his early 70s. He is sort of short, a little frail looking. He wears tons of bracelets and necklaces like he's at Mardi Gras. And he's usually wearing some piece of OSU merchandise, whether it is a hat or a shirt or both. Jay is also kind of, he kind of has like, I don't want to say he's got the shakes, but you know, he kind of trembles a little bit. Seems like a totally lovely guy. I've said good morning to him every time I've seen him. Never had a crossword or anything to say about him. It's just a guy I see all the time. So yesterday morning when I'm walking across the street, I see Jay's out there smoking. I, you know, give him a nod and good morning. He does the same. I head inside, and as I'm ordering a cup of coffee, I hear a clatter. And I turn around, and Jay's on the ground. And there's a woman and a man who are also regulars who are there checking on him immediately. And, you know, the woman is, you know, she's kind of trying to put something underneath his head, so his head's just not on linoleum. and she's talking to him, trying to keep him alert and with her, and the man is calling 911 and speaking to the operator. The employees of the coffee shop, the one of them who's like, I think, a manager, he's rushed over. He's asking, you know, was there anything he could do? They're already in the midst of calling the emergency, you know, the EMTs. So there's not much he can do. But for the most part, a lot of other people are kind of just like either in a position where I am, where I'm kind of watching this all fall, you know, this all happen, or they're just kind of going about their fucking day, which is wild to me. So I spend a few, I spend a good chunk of time just standing there, watching Jay as, you know, the other regulars that are there who know him better than I do, obviously, who probably know whether or not Jay's actually his name, check in with him and talk to him. And, you know, the EMTs show up, they bring out the crash cart, and, you know, they chat, they talk to him, they get him sitting upright, take his vitals, talk to him a little bit more. And it sounds just essentially like Jay fell down, and because of Jay having like kind of a tremble to him, they weren't sure if he was having a seizure or not. He seemed like he was okay. They asked, you know, like, hey, do you want to come to the hospital? Jay said, nope. The EMTs packed up their shit, put it back in the back of the ambulance. Jay got a cup of coffee, sat down at his regular table, and that was, they just went about like nothing happened. And that was so interesting to me. Because, so, I mean, I know how this happens. You know, I've seen this before. I have been in many situations where the EMTs are called, and, you know, if you're over the age of 18, you have the ability to say that you do not want to go to the hospital. They cannot force you to. And by the way, if you know how fucking expensive an ambulance ride is, yeah, I don't blame you for not wanting to go to the hospital. It's like $2,000. It's the most expensive lift you'll ever have. So, I've seen this happen before a couple of times. I was working at the same bank that the car went through. One time there was a man in line and he fell to the ground and started convulsing. And my manager, you know, was immediately on it, and she was saying he's having a heart attack. And it's like, he wasn't having a heart attack. You know, like, as somebody who's been around a lot of unpleasant things in their life, you kind of realize a drug overdose when you see one. And that was happening. Like, this guy was having an overdose on something. So anyway, I sat there and, you know, called the EMTs, and they came by and they put the guy on a stretcher when he was alert. But he let them take him to the hospital, which is a good thing, because he did not seem to be in a state to be saying yes or no to anything. And they wheeled him out. And while this is going on, we're still doing transactions for customers, and we're still getting bitched at for customers for having to wait, you know? Just like when this is all happening yesterday morning with Jay, people are still in line getting cups of coffee. And it's just really funny that, like, it put me in this weird existential space of, like, there's this part of me that was like, I feel like I should have been done something. Like, I should have been more active and involved in this and tried to help. But then you have the question of, like, am I saying that because of, like, some weird place of, like, wanting to be responsible or trying to be a hero? Or is it coming from a place of, like, knowing that if I did, I'd just be in the way? Because I've seen that many times as well, where someone's just in the way. My boss at that old bank job, for example, she was fucking in the way. She was trying to lecture, you know, the EMTs about how to treat a heart attack. And they're like, no, this isn't a heart attack. And the reason I do recognize the drug overdose is when I was probably 15, 16 years old. My sister was dating this guy who was living with us at the time. This is going to be the day that I decide to really go in depth on this show about some of this stuff. It's going to be a fucking banner day, because it was basically from the years like 12 to 17, 18 years old, my life was miserable. And I lived in a lot of fear, and I have a lot of issues because of some of the stuff that was happening because of it. But anyway, my sister's dating this guy who is a big drug addict. His favorite stuff were pain pills and cocaine, marijuana. We're not even really going to count, but we're going to just focus on what he overdosed on that particular day, and that was morphine. So cancer patients, you would get this like these bandages that had like a morphine gel on them. So like if you're getting chemotherapy or you're in a lot of pain, you put one of these patches on you and you're getting this kind of slow release. So a lot of like addicts would do is they get these patches and they just eat the gel off of them. So that's what Aaron did, is Aaron ate some gel off a morphine patch and OD'd. Because he overdosed in the bedroom at my sister's, in my sister's room. This big, massive bed, too. I believe the bed used to belong to my parents. But, so his face went blue. He wasn't breathing. Called the EMTs. EMTs got him going again, and then he refused to go to the hospital. And my, my mom, who was kind of taking care of him, if you could call it that, was, you know, pretty adamant that because he was 18 years old, he didn't have to do that. So that was, that was my experience with seeing that in person. So, you know, I see this guy go down from a heart, you know, from a heart attack in the branch. I'm like, no, that is an overdose. Because I've seen that. I know what that looks like. Whereas with Jay, I think Jay was just a combination of just being an older guy who already had some balance issues and he just fell over, you know, and it's a good thing they checked on him and they did a quick concussion test on him to make sure that he knew where he was and what day it was and what year it was and everything. And ultimately, Jay decided he didn't need to go to the hospital, and that was that. So after the kind of excitement from that, I kind of, had a hard time slipping into Henry in that sense. So I still tried. I got, you know, the playlist going. I got a blank Google Doc in front of me going. And then I noticed the mood shifted in the coffee shop again. And I look up and there's a line. And there's this woman who's fuming. Just every visible sign of someone being furious was there. Just out and out anger. And I guess someone had said or done something and she snapped at them. And that's what brought the mood down. And like, I'm looking at this woman and she's like physically trembling from whatever is built up inside of her. And then she just storms out. I think she says, fuck this, and then storms outside. And in front of the big windows of this coffee shop, she looks up into the sky, screams out. I don't even think she says a word. I think it's just a guttural scream. And she storms off. And everybody in the coffee shop's like, what the fuck was that? You know, and at that point, it was like 12 o'clock. And I'm like, man, Henry's usual is not happening today. But man, I fucking love living in the city. Because man, this shit didn't happen, you know, back home. Yeah, this is now two times in my life living in Columbus I'm aware of, that I remember, of like a medical emergency and like stuff not even slowing down. You know, like we were still taking deposits, they're still pouring coffee, EMTs are helping this person onto a stretcher, and we're just going about our fucking day. I had another example. This one's about over a week ago. I leave work on Fridays, usually in the middle of the day. It's a lot easier to do that now working downtown again. So I, you know, I head down to the street level and I see there's police already out. And I see there's this guy who's sitting on a bucket with a sign in front of him. And he's holding a banjo-lele, which is a banjo-ukulele combo, as the name would suggest. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's a busker. I've seen him before. You know, usually he's around the convention center. But yeah, he plays songs and, you know, people tip him money if they want to tip him. And that's that, you know. Another group of people that are usually down there around that hour are a lot of Christians with little sandwich board signs and pamphlets and ready to tell you that Jesus loves you and he's going to save you and that you're going to go to hell unless otherwise noted. And I guess what happened as I'm getting across over there, as I see the police talking to the busker guy and the one of these Christian guys, and the police are looking, you know, a little uncomfortable. But I end up chatting with two of these older guys that are waiting for the bus about what's going on. And they're like, yeah, the the guy with the banjo, he's like playing songs, and Christian with the sandwich board comes up to him and starts like giving him a hard time for being there, and he starts shouting at him, and the guy in the banjo tells him just to back up, and the guy gets in his face again, and the banjo guy tells him like, no, just seriously back the fuck up, and then sandwich board Christian guy shoves him, and so Busker called the cops because he got physically touched by this person, and he was basically saying, you know, you don't fucking touch me. You don't get to fucking touch me. Just because you disagree with what I'm doing, you don't get to touch me. So, bit of an odd thing, because I'm listening to, I'm close enough where I can hear him talking to the police, and the banjo, you know, the busker is giving the police a hard fucking time, because they're like, just so you know, I'm aware that if I was a black man, you would have arrested me on sight. Wouldn't have even bothered to ask me questions. You would have just assumed that I was the person that they were making the call against, and you would have had me handcuffed and face down on the fucking ground, because that's what you people do. And I'm like, my God, call the cops and then fucking read them the riot act. Dear Christ, what a guy, you know? And so he, you know, they end up like, I guess, citing the you know, the sandwich board guy, saying, don't touch people just because you disagree with what they're doing. He has every right to be out here just like you do. And the banjo guy comes up and he starts chatting with me and the other guys that were sitting there talking about it. And he was like saying like, yeah, these, the Christian people that are out here, they, always like try to give him a hard time. They're always trying to steal like his spot from him or try to steal money from him. You know, he's like, I was walking with a bad leg and one person asked me if I wanted to be part of the show where he healed me. And he's like, I'm not doing any of that weird stuff, you know? And, you know, it was just so fucking weird that, like, again, you know, for the last 8 months where I was having to go to work across town in like a little business corporate office hub, none of this interesting fun shit was happening. None of this stuff was going on, you know, and that's why I like being a part of this stuff. It makes me feel like I'm part of this like larger thing. It reminds me of like basically when I was back at home in West Virginia and being sort of like trapped and feeling like there's all this stuff going on and I'm not a part of it and I don't know where it is. I can't get a cup of coffee without being a part of it here, you know? And that's just fun. It's just fun. So, it's really weird to, have this kind of like heavy shit going on. You can't really talk about it too much because like, kind of waiting for the mood to get right to do so, and I guess that's what I'm trying to do. I don't really ever want this show to get political. It's not something that it, you know, this is supposed to kind of be my place to get feelings out and get things done and feel productive, and I feel like all that does is just make me feel bad, you know? So I'll focus again on the things I can control, which is the biggest advice I can give anyone who's listening to this, because I've got friends that are in the trans community and I've got friends who are part of other groups that are in minorities, and they're in some fucking hard times right now, whether it just be fear, anxiety, or active action against. And the only thing you can really do is control the things you can control and try not to put any of yourself into the shit you can't. Because it's going to happen whether you like it or not. It's going to just be about whether or not you can. I think, you know, it's a Henry Rollins lyric of, you know, when you're in a car crash, you walk away if you can. And that's kind of what it feels like. It's the kind of the American experience in 2025, you know. Every person who has made, for the bulk of people who voted for the particular administration that's in power right now, every bad thing that's happened has directly impacted them as well. Like, they didn't walk away with getting any of this on them. You know, they were voting on, like, oh, we're going to deport people. And it's like, they sure did. But with that, it's been coming with the workforce that a lot of, like, farmers, for example, relied on, if not abused. So now they have all of these crops that they can't harvest because they don't have staff to do it, because the people that they would rely on to do it are basically being threatened with deportation. The H-1B, the H-1B visas that go out to businesses to bring in talent from other countries to work, That is now apparently an idea has been floated that they're going to have to pay an annual $100,000 fee to allow them to do that. And that's going to see a lot of companies be like, actually, that's not fucking worth it. And that's going to impact a lot of, you know, a lot of people from other countries who come to America for work. You know, that is kind of history is a circle. It repeats itself. And when the last time America got super into like nationalism and isolationism, like this is the fallout. No one wants to trade with you because they don't trust you. You know, so now all these farmers who voted for this, they're now losing their farms and they don't know how they're going to make ends meet because guess what? China, who normally buys billions of dollars in soybeans every fucking year, didn't buy a single fucking one this year. So all these people are fucked. And you know for a fact that they're not going to turn that crop into affordable food here. That's just not how that's going to work. There's no business in that, you know? So it's just ugly. It always has been and always will be. That's just how it goes. So, you know, there's the whole joke about, like, person who voted for leopards eating people's faces. Well, surely they're not going to eat my face. Yeah, keep telling yourself that, because it seems to be the fucking case. You know, the difference between those of us who voted that way and those of us who didn't is at least we didn't. We knew what was going to happen when they came into power and we believed it. And the people who didn't, who are getting completely caught flat footed by this shit, they voted for it because they thought it was going to happen, but they just didn't think they were going to get any on them. And that's just that. That's what happens when you vote fucking mean, like vote out of spite and vote to be mean. And you vote for policies of hate. Hate's indiscriminate. It doesn't give a shit, you know? There's this idea of like class will always be the top thing that is that people will vote against. You know, that people will be discriminated against. Because like, yes, sexual preference and gender and race, absolutely. But class, that's going to be the be-all, end-all. Like, government doesn't give a shit if you're poor and white. If you're rich and white, hell yeah, welcome to the party. You belong. I can't remember who it was, but they said the biggest issue with Americans is that Americans would rather not see themselves as the proletariat, but just see themselves as temporarily embarrassed millionaires. And I get that. There's like a weird, I come from a family of like, you know, there are people in my family. My mom was a big one of them, as was my grandfather, apparently, that believed that they were better than other people for some reason, for no discernible reason that I could see. And I think that like that line between confidence and arrogance can be razor fucking thin, but you also have to have a bit of awareness to see what side of that line you're on, you know? Nothing wrong with confidence, just when it gets to the point where you are being hateful towards other people or act like the rules don't apply to you or they shouldn't apply to you, that's when it's a problem. Really unpleasant conversation. And I guess maybe that's why I didn't record last week. And I think maybe like we're just going to get it out of our system now, and next week we'll get back to talking about stuff that's fun. So like, is there anything not fun left to talk about? I mean, there's a lot. There's certainly a lot. But you already know what that stuff is, and you've already made your opinions on that stuff, I'm sure. And, you know, we can have a conversation about it. I'm not expecting you to change your mind if it differs from mine, and I'm not expecting you to change mine if it differs from yours. But I will say that's important to have these kinds of thoughts, but you should also be taking care of your mental first. I disconnected from social media a long time ago, and I find myself feeling okay most days rather than not. It's those days where I do decide to take a peek and see what's going on in the world that I realize like just how fucked a lot of stuff is. And people say like ignorance is bliss, and sure, there's truth in that for sure. But what I'll also say is, like, a lot of the information you receive is from the news and people who need advertisers. And you need the advertisers need to have engagement, and they need people to read. And fear is a very powerful tool to motivate people to pay attention to you. So when I stopped reading all of these articles in the news organizations and whatnot about the state of the country and the state of the world, and I just started living my fucking day to day, waking up in my world at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to my gym, or staying up until 10 o'clock at night to go to sleep in my apartment, I don't have a lot of outside influence by what's going on. I don't really look at the newspaper. My YouTube account's full of garbage that's just silly and weird, funny stuff. So I don't really get to see what's going on in the world for the most part. For me to know about something, it means it was a big fucking deal. And I will tell you, from my own personal experience, I can say that a lot of this shit that's happening that's super fucking scary is so inconsequential to your day-to-day life and your day-to-day existence, it might not even be worth the thought to think about it. Because you're in a position where you really can't do anything about it until you get to certain points of the year or certain points of the decade where you can vote. And if you can't vote, then what's left? Protesting and making your voice heard, that gets ignored for the most part. The shit that doesn't get ignored is the stuff that we're not going to talk about today. So take care of your mental health and focus on shit that really impacts your day-to-day life and not the stuff that they just want to scare you into reading so that the advertisers get their clicks. We're going to go ahead and do a song of the week, and we'll keep it kind of light and kind of fun. I have been of the opinion that I think some of the best punk rock is happening in Australia right now. I've been trying to get more into international punk music, because there's some good stuff out there, and I feel like if you don't listen to what's outside your backyard, you're never going to find anything really cool. So, you know, earlier this week, for example, I had a really cool song from this band in France, which was really cool and all, but I'm going to stick with Australia, because Australia's got a lot of fun stuff. I've been doing two songs lately, and I feel like it's a cop-out, so we'll just do two again. The first one is, the song's called Pretty by the band Miniskirt, from North Wales. And then the other is going to be Rich Cunt Party by Public House. So keep staying recklessly brave and check that stuff out. All that stuff's in the bio and the descriptions. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.